This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture with me, Sharmila Ganesan, as well as Tisha Week and Juliet Jacobs.
And in our first story today, it's World Food Day. And the theme this year is healthy diets for a zero hunger world. So we're going to look at this and also how we can all eat a little bit more sustainably.
Well, it is World Food Day, and that's observed annually across the world on the 16th of October. And that's to honor the establishment date of the Food and Agriculture Organization, or the FAO.
Yes. And so the main focus of this day, of course, is to bring home the message that food is a basic and fundamental human right. So the FAO hopes to generate awareness globally for those who suffer from hunger and to ensure the need for food security and nutritious diets for all. I think we take that for granted, right?
Yes.
Nutritious diets.
That's right.
And the theme for this year, as we mentioned earlier, is our actions are our future, healthy diets for a zero hunger world. And the focus, of course, is on tackling global hunger. Mm. Now, according to the FAO's The State of Food and Agriculture Report 2019, or the SOFA report.
Well, you've just been waiting to say that, haven't you?
I love it. I'm sorry. Globalization, urbanization, you know, income growth has caused our diets and eating habits to change. Mm. And, you know, instead of seasonal fiber-rich food and plant-based food, we have shifted to refined, we've shifted to starches, sugar, fat, salt, you know, just processed food.
Mm. Are you describing what I eat every day?
I'm describing what this whole office eats on a daily basis.
And we talk about this a lot on our Health and Living show, obviously, because of the close link between these kinds of diets and the increased prevalence of the kinds of disease burdens that we're seeing today,
exactly.
You know, diabetes, heart disease. So the report, the SOFA report, calls on us all to shift to a healthier diet by eating more seasonal fruits and vegetables and reducing the consumption of junk food in order to meet this zero hunger goal of the UN-mandated Sustainable Development Goals. So the report details how the world is facing a crisis of extremes, actually, with many on one hand affected by obesity and others by food insecurity.
Yeah.
And it's so strange to think that we have these two states coexisting at the same time in the world. So some stats to consider by the FAO, over 820 million people, and that's approximately 1 in 9 people around the world, were hungry, and malnutrition affected 1 in every 3 people. On the other hand, currently 670 million adults and 160 million children suffer from obesity worldwide.
It's quite crazy. You know, and this dichotomy is actually, it's taking a toll on national health budgets. It's costing up to $2 trillion per year. Poor diets are now a leading cause, you know, as you mentioned, of illness, and it's linked to 1/5 of all deaths worldwide. Mm. I mean, that's quite crazy. And the FAO also stated that many people globally were suffering from food insecurity. So that's something different. That's a situation in which people lack secure access to sufficient amounts of safe and, again, nutritious food for normal growth and development, and of course, an active and healthy lifestyle.
So one factor that could help in fighting food insecurity is, of course, less wastage of food.
Mm.
According to the FAO, around 14% of the world's food is actually lost after harvesting, around 60% of the total micronutrients are lost because of wastage of fruits, vegetables, and animal-based products at various levels after the harvest takes place.
Mm. And to combat this, there's actually a growing movement calling on us all to consume locally grown food, which has numerous economic, health, and environmental benefits, and cuts down, I guess, on all those stages that food would be wasted from farm to fork, basically. So as it stands, the food sector, and this encompasses the growing, fertilizing, harvesting, transporting, processing, manufacturing, selling, and wasting food, that entire chain, contributes to more climate change-related gases than all land, sea, and air transport combined.
Did you know that?
Wow. I didn't, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it kind of makes you think, okay, if we are starting to look at the carbon footprint of our travel choices,
So essentially, the longer and further it takes for your food to get from where it's originally produced to your plate, the bigger your carbon footprint is going to be. Right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, some experts are actually going as far as to say that the best way to eat sustainably is to actually grow your own produce.
Yeah.
If that's not possible, they recommend that you join a community garden or do food swaps with other people. So essentially everyone does their little bit and then you guys just get together. But earlier today, I caught up with Shaolin Lo. She is the design director at Eat Shoots and Roots. And that's a social enterprise on a mission mission to empower urban folks with the skills to grow their own food. So we discussed how growing your own food can actually help reduce food waste and food loss.
So by growing your own food, I guess you have access to certain things that you may not need all the time. Like if you're going to buy herbs, sometimes if you buy a whole pack of it from the supermarket, you actually don't need all that much. Mm-hmm. So if you have your own herbs at home, you can actually just pick a bit and it will continue growing and you always have constant supply and you can actually share that with your friends as well. So it's more of a convenience thing as well, and also the freshness of the food that you grow on your doorstep. But of course, it's not saying that everyone should grow all their supplies on their doorstep and if that's possible or not, because I don't think that's possible yeah. at our current state.
Obviously, this is something that Eat Shoots and Roots, you know, advocates for. But, you know, what? Tell me about the costs involved. You know, I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, this is something that only the privileged can do, you know, if you have the time yeah. for it. But I mean, you know, from your experience, what are the costs involved?
Okay, so I mean, to be fair, there are actually a lot of costs involved in terms of time and also like maybe buying your soil or buying your planters in the beginning. But overall, you don't have to spend so much. It's about doing it in such a way that it fits your lifestyle. So then if you can't afford so much, then you can grow very simple things. The stuff that costs a lot are probably your more foreign vegetables that require more care, and you have to buy the seeds from overseas. You can't get them here. So those are the things that cost more. But if you're thinking of like more local herbs like pandan lemongrass, these are very easy to grow. A lot of homes already grow that in their backyard. So I wouldn't say that it's something that only the privileged have access to. Mm-hmm. It's more of something that you can access to if you have enough time. And maybe that is something where maybe the privileged have more time so then they can spend that time in their garden in that sense.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I mean, for yourself, you know, obviously you plant a lot of what you can, right? But I mean, do you only consume locally produced food? Is that something that is part of your, I suppose, your purchasing?
Yeah, I mean, we've been around for 7 years and we've been doing this for a long time. And I don't think it's possible to only consume locally produced food because let's say if you are going to make rice and eggs, your rice may not come from Malaysia, also may come from Thailand. So it's quite impossible at this current state to only consume local food. I mean, you can, but that kind of limits your food choices also. And if you're a big foodie, especially a Malaysian foodie, I would think that people like to try a lot of different things. And I don't think it has to be that strict. It's good that people are aware, but sometimes it's nice to also have like Japanese food, you know, because if you're saying only eat local food, that means, okay, then everyone cannot eat. They are part of Jap food or even Peruvian food or something foreign or something different, which I think a lot of Malaysians cherish. So I don't think it's about being super strict about it. It's about being aware about the choices that we make about our food.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, from your own experience, what were some of the, you know, the benefits? So let's say economic, the health and environmental benefits from growing your own food as much as possible and also from buying locally as much as possible?
I think it's actually saving a bit of cost. Of course, certain things, if you grow, it's still cheaper to buy outside. Mm-hmm. But it's about saving a bit of money. Instead of saving on the veg, it's actually saving your money spent on petrol, having to drive out to buy your veggies and stuff like that. Certain things you can just get. If you can get it on your balcony, then it's fast and easy. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of cost. It's not perfect, the system, especially for city folks. But I think there are ways to work around it. And I think the time cost of running out is one of them. So for instance, sometimes when I go back and then I only have a balcony because I'm staying in an apartment, mm-hmm. And I don't have time to go to the supermarket. If I'm just cooking like a noodle soup, then I can just pluck a few bayam leaves from my balcony and just chuck it in my noodle soup. So that helps as well. So it's that sort of level.
Yeah, I think one of the main things, of course, is reducing your food miles, right? Because you're just cutting down on, you know, having to buy like broccoli from China. There's locally produced broccoli. You can just try it, I suppose, get that. No?
Well, that one's a bit of a tricky one because broccoli is also something that grows in a cooler climate in the highlands. So you can't really grow broccoli in your backyard. I mean, some people have done that, but it's not the easiest thing to grow. Mm-hmm. There are a few different things that you may or may not be able to grow in your backyard. So that's why I'm saying if you're going to not grow, if you're not going to eat stuff that's from overseas, then sometimes you're also quite limited in what you can eat. Mm-hmm. But then the interesting part of the work that we do is actually trying to find different ways of cooking local produce.
Right.
Because then not a lot of people experiment with it so much. Maybe very typically you cook very traditional dishes. So maybe if you have your asam pedas or masak kunyit and things like that. Mm-hmm. But how do we then explore it for a more contemporary palate? So that is the interesting part where I think it's yet to be explored. I think there are some chefs that have already explored it, but still quite niche and not so mainstream yet. But it'll be interesting to see what these other chefs will be coming up with local produce.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of, like you said, just diversifying and finding different ways to cook the kind of staple vegetables, if I can call it that, that, you know, that are easily grown, that I guess it does involve a certain amount of giving up, right, if you want to be truly sustainable in that sense.
Yes, there is some element of giving up, so it depends on how much you want to give up.
Okay, but, all right.
I think an interesting aspect to talk about is actually also food waste and how composting deals with food waste. And I think it's important for all households to have a simple compost bin because mm-hmm. that helps divert your food waste from going to landfills, but also then turning it into something useful and not viewing it as waste, but it's actually a way to actually create more soil, more topsoil for you to grow your veggies with as well. So, yeah, I think composting is something that people should consider in this time and age as well.
Yeah, and I think the problem is a lot of people think that it's a difficult thing to do, but essentially it isn't, right?
No, composting is super easy. It's just you have to find the right bin and just understand a bit more about the concept. And yeah, it's super easy.
So that was Shaolin Lau, the design director at Eat Shoots and Roots. So I actually wanted to ask you guys, do you consider how your food came to you, you know, that whole journey from farm to fork as it was? And has that, you know, influenced the way you buy groceries or consume food? I mean, just your practices.
I will say that I think about it, but it hasn't changed my choices or my behaviours very much. Probably just due to a lack of effort on my part. I'll be honest here. I really admire people who have their own little urban gardens or urban farms, right? And they just plant a small amount of vegetables. And I've heard them say that, you know, if you can at least have your vegetables 2 to 3 times a week come from your own garden, it makes an impact. And my husband and I have talked about, hey, let's do this. We have a little patch of garden. It's easy enough, apparently, to set up your little...
Eat Shoots and Roots are the ones to help you out there.
That's right. What I really like about it, and it's aspirational at this point, it just feels so much healthier as well. To be able to know, you know what you're planting, and you know what's being put into the planting process, and there's something so wholesome about it, isn't it?
I will admit that I don't have the time and I'm going to admit this, possibly the inclination to grow my own vegetables. One, it's just not something I have a lot of interest in, and just it feels to me like a huge change in the way I live. I live in an apartment, you know. However, I try to do, like, where my food comes from, especially of late, has been something I think about quite a bit. And one of the ways in which I've been trying to minimize wastage as well as this whole farm to table journey is try to buy local and try to learn to cook more local vegetables and local fruits, because really we have a lot of natural resources here that we can use. And one of the things that that has really helped, and there are actually many local farmers who do this, is buying a weekly vegetable bag. You don't get to, so the concept is you don't get to choose what's in the bag, you get what they harvest.
So that's the whole idea of seasonal,
yes,
right?
So it's seasonal, it's local. Many of them are organic as well. And I find that that has helped me reconsider how I cook and what I cook, because it's really dependent on, it's not me saying, well, I want avocados this week, I'm going to go get them no matter what. It's, well, what vegetables do I have?
Mm. Yeah. And what I realized, because I've seen the varieties you get in those weekly veggie boxes, and you are sort of forced to consume different, more diverse choices than what you would usually buy. Because I think when you go to a grocery or a supermarket, you gravitate towards what you're used to.
Yeah.
And when you are given what they harvest, you're just forced to eat different types and you get your variety.
Exactly. And on that note, the other thing that I do, again, something that some people have a bit of an aversion to is that I've really learned how to stretch my vegetables so that I don't waste them.
Mm-hmm.
I freeze quite a lot of them, especially the hardier ones, the moment they arrive, because I know, I mean, I cook for one person most of the time. So I tend to chop them up and put them in the freezer immediately so that I can use them in the future. I also think about which lasts longer and so keep those for later and then use the leafy ones first. It's not a huge, huge thing,
no.
But it has gotten me thinking about what I can do.
And that is actually something that the FAO advocates for, you know, that you need to think and plan how you store your food, mm-hmm. because that is one of the number one leading causes as well of food wastage, especially at the home, because mm-hmm. you buy in bulk, you put everything in, and of course, vegetables are going to go bad. So it's all about how you store it. And like you said, you know, planning to know which one is going to go bad first. So it's just a little bit of effort. And even if you can't grow stuff locally, buying locally, sourced meat, for example, rather than buying Wagyu beef. Is that what it's called? I don't eat it in beef anymore, but, you know.
I don't think many people who eat beef can afford Wagyu anyway. Yeah.
Not on a daily basis, certainly.
I don't know how you guys roll. but, I mean, you know, eating sustainably and locally sourced meat as well, that is something that you can do as well. It's not too difficult.
I think adding, like compounding the challenge also is the easy availability of takeaway food now, especially with the kinds of services that are available.
And food delivery.
Yes, exactly. And I know that it adds convenience to our lives, which many people with our busy schedules we need, but there's so much more potential for wastage when you order takeaway.
Again, food freezes pretty well. As a culture, we're not pro this. A lot of my friends and relatives think it's gross, but if you follow proper safety, hygiene procedures, you can actually freeze a lot of food and eat it at a later day.
And actually, if you look at the portion before you start eating it, think, okay, do I really need to eat this much? Or I halve it and put it into the freezer straight away, then it's not being contaminated.
So, you know, if you have any more thoughts on that, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
And on that note, we had a comment from David on WhatsApp. You know, what happens if eating locally is restricted by your physical location? And he cites, you know, an example in the US, there are numerous, what do you call, food deserts in which buying fresh food is difficult or impossible. So eating locally could actually be more challenging for certain sectors of society than it may sound at first.
Absolutely, yeah. So definitely the idea of eating sustainably is something that is much easier for people who are in privileged positions to do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I mean, a lot of people who are not so well off, you know, by necessity, they grow their own vegetables. Yeah. They grow their own food.
Yes. But also, of course, then the question is how nutritious are their diets, because they may be limited in what they can grow and harvest and thus put on the table.
And perhaps also depending on whether you live in rural areas or urban areas.
Whether you have the space for it.
Yeah, space, time. But yeah, no, it's an interesting question, idea of...
Actually, I think you would find food security being quite a big problem for the urban poor, where you don't have the freedom to do any form of sustainable food...
gardening, growing...
Yeah, purchasing and all that. And you literally physically have no space for any of that.
Yeah.
Benji said on WhatsApp that he's been experimenting with aquaponics. He says it's amazing how we can transform a fish tank to also plant vegetables from fish waste, and the water gets oxygenated by the plants.
Yeah.
Good on you, Benji.
We will be back after a short break, but first here's Feed the Tree by Belly on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.